Well, I am thankful that since I visited you last, you haven't forgotten how to worship. That was a big concern coming in. Just kidding. It's great to be here with you again. Hallelujah. I can't even I was thinking about it. Since I have seen you last, I've actually pastored a church in Gardner. Spent a couple of years there, and now have spent a couple of years in Bellevue. 2 years ago, we had a decision to make, either stay in Gardner or take care of my almost 90-year-old mom, who is in Bellevue, in the house that I grew up in. And she wanted to stay in her home as she aged, but we realized that unless somebody came to help her, she could not anymore. Many of you have walked through this with family or are in it. Yes. I must remember the congregation I am in. Yes. And we felt the Lord say to go ahead and take care of her. So with my wife and all three of my daughters, it ended up, not originally, but all three now, of my daughters, my wife and myself, moved in with my mom in Bellevue. And so I joke around that after 40 years, I moved back in with my mom. And we know it's been the right thing to do. And it's also been probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And my wife bears the greatest responsibility. She's primary caregiver. My mom continues to worsen. She both has a lot of physical challenges as well as dementia, Alzheimer's, that is progressively getting worse. And I was talking to a friend of mine who lost his mom this spring. He said, "I really miss her." And I realized as he said that I really miss my mom. Yeah. And so I'm kind of going through that grieving process too. So your prayers are greatly appreciated. As I said, we're making some changes that are needed to be made because I have seen the cumulative effect on my family has not been good. We're going through some struggles, and we're making some adjustments and seeing some good things come out of that, but we do need your prayers. My wife would have come, but again, she needs to be taking care of my mom, and my mom really can't travel very easily anymore. So she sends her love, as do all of my daughters, who are now 23, 21, and 19. Yeah! How does it happen that they age, but we don't? I don't get that. I just don't. So let me see. Danielle, since you guys know the family, do you mind if I just I'll give you a little update? By the way, those of you who I have never met, it's great to see you. It's great to see the congregation's growing. New faces, it's great to have you here. Some faces that I haven't seen in 20 years. Stephen and Tiffany, I knew them in Pullman. Tiffany and I had the privilege actually of working together in the missions department. She made me look really, really good. And we accomplished some great things together. It's just great to see you guys with your family. I mean, that is really, really awesome. So, Danielle, 23, working at the Westin in Seattle, the two big round ones. She's a manager in the housekeeping area there and is doing well. Graduated from Biola University a couple of years ago. Has worked for Disney. She's on an incredible journey. Kelly is a 21-year-old. She just graduated, and I'll brag a little bit, summa cum laude from Northwest University in the evening program with her bachelor's in business. She's working out at SeaTac. She's doing well. And Triana just graduated from Skagit Community College with her degree in computer information systems. Right now, she's working at Bath and Body Works. And so if you need any sense, go to Bell Square and you can go visit her. She's doing well. And again, Julianne, who actually quit her job to take care of my mom, is full-time caregiver and still wife and mom and everything else. So she is the amazing one of the family, hands down. So that's a little bit of a catch up on us. And I am also, right now, my profession is that of a coach. I'm a clarity coach. I help people get clarity around what's important to them, who they are, why it's important to them, and then what are they going to do with that. And I do that with individuals. I do it with organizations. I also am part of an organization that trains people to become coaches from a Christian perspective. It's called Awaken. In fact, I head down to California next Wednesday to finish up a professional training. I love that. And honestly, I have found that the more coaching I do, I'm actually pastoring more as a coach in some ways than I did when I was behind the pulpit, because of what I'm dealing with and helping people step into who they truly are. So as I share in my message, I'll share some of my journey in that, which is kind of what I want to talk with you a little bit about today. But I'm going to start off by, I'll pick that up later. Remind me of that, because that would not be good. So, for those of you that can see it, what is this? Driver's license. A driver's license, yes. Yep. Looking pretty young in that one. I still say my hair is blonde on this one, I think. Have you ever, did this happen to you? Every time my wife cuts my hair, I look down on the ground and it's a different color than when it was on my head. I go, how did that happen? Just from here down to the floor, it changed colors. There's also less of it every time she cuts it, but that's okay. So this is a license. What's another name for it? Yeah, an ID. It's an ID card. It tells you who I am, at least to some degree. It tells you who I am. And for those of you who don't know me, I was not always a follower of Christ, and I was a really good sinner in terms of, just whatever I could, that was kind of what I got into, because I was looking for something. And before I was 21, when I wanted to go out and have fun and get some alcohol, you know what I had to get? A fake ID. Oh. Is that just from, you've heard of those stories?
No.
Yeah. I had a fake ID, pretending to be somebody that I was not. What I deal with all the time in coaching is identity. Identity. It's kind of foundational to who we are. I mean, that's why it's called it. But much of the time, we don't understand it. And so sadly, a lot of the time, we're living from a fake identity, even in our own lives. So if I were to ask you, and by the way, for those of you who know, and for those of you that are new, whenever I have an opportunity to talk, I want you to talk too. I kind of expect it. If I, as I am talking and you guys don't talk back, I feel like I am failing. So if I were to ask you, what is identity? What would your answer be? What is identity? What is identity? If you're going to give me a one sentence description, cameraman back there, I'm going to keep him busy. Yeah. Okay. He's good. Yeah.
Passion.
Your passion. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. It's your passion. That's true.
Where you belong.
Where you belong? Yeah. Good. Good.
What you stand for.
Excellent. Yes.
The way God moves.
Ooh, you're good. Yeah, you're good. You want to finish?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Now you got it. You got it. Yes.
I'm a child of God.
You are a child of God. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is so important to understand. Our identity is that which we believe we are at our core. At our core. We believe that is who we are. And if I were to give you an illustration of it, this is you. This is you. It's good because you're open, you're honest, and transparent. I know that's important. Yeah. This is you. And what's inside of this picture is your identity. Whatever you perceive it to be. Whatever you perceive it to be. And that's why it's so important to understand it, because here's what's happened. What happens is whatever you believe about yourself, you pour into yourself. And you pour into yourself, and you pour into yourself, and you pour into yourself. And then what happens? Yeah, it flows out of you. And it makes a mess. It's fun doing that illustration on somebody's desk. Ah! Get a towel, yes. I know all the clean people. I'll run and get a towel. Whatever you believe about who you are will always flow out of you. Everywhere you go. In everything that you do. Our lives, one of the tools I use as I train coaches and train people is called the ladder of life. And the ladder of life, I like it because it's easy to see. A ladder has steps that go up and go down. And our lives are made, and I wish I actually would have brought the picture. I could have done a PowerPoint on this because I have it very easily. But at the top, one of the top levels of a ladder is your identity, who you believe you are. The next level down are your values and your beliefs, what you believe and what you value. Underneath that are your skills and capabilities, how you do things. So if I would give an illustration of the fact that you believe that your identity is tied into your job, your business. And we do that a lot. And I won't be stereotypical, but men tend to do it more frequently. We are our job. In fact, interestingly enough, in the Bellevue, Seattle area, 50,000 businesses over the next 10 years are going to transition because the founder is aging out. And he has to transition that business to somebody else. Many don't have a transition plan in place. So many of them are facing a big decision as to what they're going to do. And statistically, if they don't know their identity, their real identity, if they believe their identity is their job, their business that they have built, you know that CEOs of large corporations, when they retire, sadly, many of them only live 2 years because they don't know who they are. So they just kind of disappear. But if your identity is in your job, then your values and beliefs are going to be tied around, I value hard work. I value making money. I value taking care of employees. And it's not that these things are wrong. And that's the key. You need to understand there's roles. The difference between roles and identity. Identity is the core. And so if you believe that's the core, then that's going to happen. Then your skills and capabilities, you are going to take and apply everything you can to learn the proper skills, the proper capabilities to run your business correctly. And then the next level down is behaviors. So what you're going to do is from your identity, from your values and beliefs, and then from your skills and capabilities, everything you do generally now, 60 to 80 hours a week, is going to be using those skills and capabilities to build the business. And that's going to take place in your environment, which is the lowest level. Where you work, with whom you work. And it flows up and down. But the key is here, have you got it? If you get identity correctly, you get it down properly, then the way it's going to flow down is going to flow down and be a blessing. You're going to make a mess. Sometimes it's good to make a mess. You can make a good mess. Yeah. Anybody made good messes? Good mess people? Yeah. Well, I love it. I would love to hear about your messes. I bet you make great ones. I do. No, I bet you do. So let me ask you, I mentioned one of them. Where else do you find your identity? Where else do you find your identity? Now, what's that?
Relationships.
Yeah. Anybody do that sometimes? Yeah, you put your identity in your relationships. Somebody, if they like me, then everything's so good. What happens when they don't like you? Not so good. Yeah, we really struggle. We really struggle. Where else? Relationships, your job, where else might you find identity? Fam, what?
In who you've been told you are.
Wow. You said it. What's been poured into you by others? What's been poured into you by your culture? When you understand this, it really goes down when Scripture talks about we're transformed by the renewing of our mind and how important it is about what we think about, because everything is tied into what we think about, what we believe, and that takes place up here. So if we believe what's been poured into us our whole lives, that is going to shape everything. And, oh, you've got my phone, Ray. Do you? Can I borrow my phone? Thank you very much. Yes. Yeah. And you know what? 24/7. We have got like billions of influences telling us who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to look like, the money we're supposed to have, what it means to retire, what it means to be successful in life. And I had forgotten. I grew up in Bellevue. And Bellevue at that time still was a fairly affluent suburb of Seattle, but nothing compared to what it is now. If you come visit my neighborhoods, we have what are called McMansions. I mean, they tear down these and they just build these things that are so... It's amazing. Almost disgusting in some ways, personal. I mean, you know, because that's so... Sometimes that's their identity. Yeah. Possessions. Oh, yes. Yeah, do you have the latest one? The 11 just came out. Huh? Anybody yet? I asked T-Mobile, I said, what would it take to get the 11? I'm guilty. I did. I go, oh, it costs too much right now. That identity. So possessions, relationships, job. What's that? Looks, yeah. We can find our identity in that. Why is it then that every single picture that you see on Instagram or Facebook, do you ever see ugly pictures on purpose? No. It's the best selfie.
There's a filter for that.
There's a filter for that. There is a, boy, you could do a lot with that. Yeah. It's really true. I want to go to, and yes, I am going to get to the Bible, just so you guys, in case they're here, you're wondering. Matthew 16, 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Here's the most important question that Jesus asks to every individual on the planet. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? Because at its core, you have to get Jesus' identity right before you can ever get yours. You have to know who He is before you can ever begin to fully understand completely who you are. Simon Peter answered correctly, as should we all, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And if you get that, and you understand what that means to your life, then you can begin to build on who you are. And part of the answer there is found in Genesis 1, which is one of the coolest things I have heard taught lately that I had not seen. When God was creating, a number of times as He was creating, He spoke to His creation to bring forth different things. Verse 11 of Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it." The land then produced it. So He spoke to that which He had created, and it produced. Verse 24 said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kind." So He spoke to His creation to then further creation. Now, when it comes to verse 26, do you know who God spoke to when He created man? He said, "Us." God spoke to Himself when He created man. And so man came out of God in His image. Therein lies the source of our identity. We are created in His image. He spoke to Himself and said, "Let us make man in our image." Which is why it's so crazy, and we can look on it now, however, you know, and be amazed. However, I think we do the same thing sometimes. When the serpent came and tempted Eve and said, "If you eat this, you will become like God," how foolish she already was. She already was. She already was created in His image and likeness. She didn't need to do anything else. And yet she believed a lie, which is sometimes what we do. When, especially when it comes to our identity. Oh, if you just have this, then you'll really be important. Or if you just have relationship with this person. Or if you just go on this cruise. Or this trip to the Holy Land. Then you'll really be a Christian. We do it in so many ways. We think the next thing is going to really be what makes us, when we need to understand we already are. We already are. And as we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we have been filled with His Holy Spirit, can you begin to imagine who we are now? Yeah, we're new creations. Exactly. Old things are passed away. Behold, one or two things have become new. Thank you. A very biblically literate class. I love it. Yes. All things have become new. All things have become new. So, to help out, I would like to give you something. And if I could have some help passing this out. If you want to, there we go. Yeah. Yeah, just one per person, please. And I'll wait till you get it to continue. Because yes, you're actually going to have a homework assignment in class. Because I'm a guy who believes in making you do something too. So this is a sheet on identity. This is just a partial list of the scriptures that actually describe who you are. That's why it's framed, "I am," and the scripture that is tied into it. So, I am a temple in which God dwells. I am blameless and beyond reproach. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a branch on Christ's vine. And I can keep going, but here's what I would like you guys to do. I'd like you to read through this. Spend a couple minutes. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to read through this. And what I would like you to do is find two or three scriptures that you really identify with. I believe the Holy Spirit today will quicken two or three scriptures to you about who you are. They all apply to you in Christ. But just read through them and find two or three that you really identified with. And maybe you can mark them off or do whatever it is to highlight them for yourself. And when you've done that in a couple of minutes, we will come back and chat a little bit further. All right, as you are finding a couple, I would love to have one or two of you, or three or four of you, share one that's kind of jumped out at you or spoken to you. Mine right now was I know that all things are working together for good. I needed to hear that today, because what I'm walking through sometimes, I have a tough time understanding that at this particular point, but I can trust. And when I do, there's a peace that comes that, okay, thank you, Lord, you have been faithful in the past to bring me through things I don't understand. I can trust you now. Yes, sir. You're a royal priest. Yeah, when you think that, and when you speak that and you hear that about yourself, what does that do for you? Yeah. They do. Good things. Godly things. Beautiful. Beautiful. Who else? Yes. Yes. That's okay.
I may approach God with boldness, freedom, and confidence.
Yeah. And when you think about that, what does that do for you? Yeah.
And he's with me.
He is.
He's there.
Nice. I love it. I love it. Somebody? Yes.
I have been made complete in him.
Mm.
I love that.
Yeah. Why?
Because he's enough.
Mm.
My all sufficiency. I lack nothing because everything I need is in him.
You mean you don't need the latest iPhone?
Wow, I had to do that.
No. But to be complete.
Yes. No.
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 When you get that, it's not wrong that blessings come or that we acquire things. They don't have us, though, because we're enough.
Yes.
In him.
Yes. Yes.
So again, it's not that I want you to go live in a cave and forswear all material things, except for you, Ray. You got to go do that. You're doing it already. Huh? Yeah. Yes, sir.
I have been bought with a prize.
Mm. You like that? Yeah. Just even hearing you say it. This is the fun part of this. Just hearing people say it. Do you feel it? You sense it resonate? It's also one of the reasons why to read Scripture out loud many times to yourself is really awesome. It is. I know for me, it's one of the first Scriptures I ever memorized. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I need to say that because sometimes this thing up here doesn't like to think on those things. It likes to think on things it shouldn't. And I need to stop it. Yes?
I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength I need.
You sure?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you, I have to believe it and I have to let it go.
Yep.
And keep saying that. If I need to say it throughout the day out loud when I'm struggling with things, to put it in the right perspective and take my eyes off myself.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I do when I'm coaching people, every session that I coach with, they're generally 45 minutes to an hour. I always end, one of the things I end with every single time is what I call a statement of truth. Generally, I coach believers. But even when I'm not coaching a believer, I'll do this too. A statement of truth about who the person is becoming. Who they are. That I am a child of God. That I can, I am able to do all things. What I ask them to do then is write that down and do just what you said. Post it somewhere where they see it all the time. And it's amazing what will happen when you do. Because as I said, the enemy is not lazy. He is throwing things at you 24/7 to tear you down. You need to be proactive in building you up and encouraging one another. In fact, I don't know if some of you know him, Ray Canterbury. He came today. He has become a very, very, very good friend over the last 3 years. Has it been three? Seems like. Yeah. Ray and I will call each other. I won't say who calls more, but we joke about that. But he, and what we will do is talk. We'll laugh, we'll have fun, but he always has something edifying, encouraging. He builds up. He's sourced in the Word of God. God is speaking to him constantly. Every time I talk, I come away edified and built up. That's what we need. That's what you have here. I know that's being built here. I know that's important. I cannot emphasize it enough, though, that you need to make sure you are continuing to do that. Anybody else have one they'd like to share? Yes. Oh, I love that. Because sometimes I don't feel dead to sin. But I am. And if I choose to reckon on it when sin tempts me, I can say no to it. Beautiful. I love it. I love it. Yeah, I've never seen a corpse respond to temptation. Ever. And I actually worked at a funeral home for quite a few years. So I had a lot of, and I never saw a person that was dead. I don't care how powerful the temptation was, they just didn't respond. And that's a good picture to have. Yeah. Do you guys believe that about him?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. You can see a good work is being done. You had your hand up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that one. That one speaks out. Yeah. When you're singing his praises, what happens inside of you?
A lot of things.
Yeah. A lot of things. That's what, honestly, worship, in fact, one of the things I actually went on a retreat about a month ago now, and one of the things I realized is that I have not been worshiping with my guitar lately. And so now I am again. And it is really changing the dynamic of my time with the Lord, because I am a worshiper. I love to worship. That's just where I touch Him, and He speaks to me. And so I'll just get my guitar out and start strumming and sing the songs He begins to give me. And I'll pray as I sing. And it's changing things because his praises, amazing things happen. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Sorry. I'm sorry. I heard somebody here, right? Oh, yeah. Okay.
I want to go back to the one that you had at the very beginning. I am a member
member of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, and created to sing his praises.
Yeah.
That's me.
That is you.
That's what he did. He started me at age 3.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
You're him. That special?
I tell you, I've been around a long time.
Yeah. Sometimes we have a hard time, though, believing we're that special. Because we want to earn it. Because somehow we have to earn it and make it ours. And it was just simply freely given. Based on not a thing that we actually did. So do you see, as you are doing those in your head, and this happens, what flows out of you? Yeah. It's the kind of mess that Jesus made. The kind of mess that sets people free. The kind of mess that heals them. The kind of mess that delivers them. The kind of mess that transforms the world. Don't be afraid to make a mess. It's a good thing when it's sourced in a good identity, a true identity. So here's what I'd like you to do next, and I'm going to ask you to use that part of you that is absolutely unique to you and only you of God's creation. And that's the front part of your brain that allows you to imagine. You're the only one of God's creation that can actually imagine the future. I'd like to have you take one of your scriptures and think about you. Maybe over the course of the next week, in a situation that you know you have faced before that you may face again, whether it's at work or whether it's with family members or relationship, or maybe it's when you're by yourself, where you realize, you know what, I need this scripture to apply in this situation. All things work together for good. I can picture walking in to my mom at 6 a.m. every morning when I need to get her up and take her to the bathroom, and she's very disoriented and it's really, really difficult and hard. But when I know this is working together for good, and I can picture that, and I see it taking place where I am the hands of Christ extended to the woman who gave birth to me and raised me and loved me, then I can begin to say this is working together for good in my life and in her life. I can picture that, and I can see it, and I can experience it, and I know, and here's the cool thing, because I know the way the brain works. What neuroscience shows us is as you think about that, the neurons fire, and the pathways develop a brand new belief about what's taking place. Because when you think about something, about 98% of the neurons fire that fire when you actually do it. Another way of saying that is your brain doesn't know whether it's actually happening or not. Because to your brain, it actually is. It doesn't know the difference between what's really going on or you just picture closing your eyes and imagining it. That's the way we're wired. That's why meditation on the Word of God and meditation on the things of God is so important, because it builds new neural pathways, new belief systems. That's why Scripture got it and neuroscience is finally catching up to know that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
Why what you think about determines what you become. What you believe determines who you become. So picture a situation. And if you want to close your eyes, you can. I just honestly, close your eyes and picture that situation, whatever it may be. And then allow one of your scriptures to come and sit on top of that. And see, understanding the truth of the Word of God, the truth of who He is in that situation. How does it affect it? How does it bring the Holy Spirit into it in such a way that you see God doing something that maybe He's never done before? Or God changing you in the midst of it so that you can be more effective in being his hands extended in that particular situation. And as I shared how it impacted what I do with my mom and how it changed my perspective and helped me to be more loving. As you've done that, would anybody like to share a little bit about what it did for you? Yeah. Yes.
Learning that all things work together for my good.
Yeah.
I finally got that. Little bit, all hell come against me. And I learned, and then it was dying to self and loving one another.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
No.
Simple things.
Yeah.
My needs are all met by God.
Yeah. Is met. Yeah. Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does. Yeah, Stephen.
I work on God's co-worker partner, and where that visualization brought me was to a song that I was resonating with me this morning that I need to hear from him if I'm going to cooperate with him. I really need to be communicating with him.
Beautiful. Right on. Right on. He loves to. He will talk to us. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm a strong God. Yeah. Yeah, he will. He is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I've got a family member that is choosing to not follow Jesus at this particular point, and I want to see them knowing. Returned fully, passionately, loving and serving him. And when I do that, when I see it, that gives me a confidence. Also the fact, as Stephen said, then as I hear him, I can speak into that person's life in a way that's going to make a difference. And I don't have to be timid. The thing I found is when you know your identity, it provides a lot of courage for you. Because when you know you've got a strong God, then what do you need to be afraid of? And when you understand, and you mentioned it, that our society and culture has, you know, it says so much, if you push God away for so long, Romans tells us that he gives them over to that lie, to that delusion. They are delusional, literally. And it's a spiritual thing. That's, I have to remember that, because I sure get angry when I can't even watch the news anymore. I can't. But for me, it's Facebook. Facebook gets me ticked off now, too. And just about every... I get angry. But then I need to remember, this is a delusion that they are under. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, although I sure would like to at times. Oh, it would be. But in order to do that, I need to enter into the flesh. And that's not good. Ooh, I just got that. That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. But against principalities and powers, it's a spiritual battle, and what we're talking about here is what equips me to be a warrior with the armor of God. Yes.
My brother's a pastor. He's a little bit
there would be no silence. So I got, we got a group of our healing room members that loved to praise the Lord. There was really no musicians in the group, but singers, and we meet on Friday nights down in Southern California. We, I got instruments, tambourines and things, and there's a scripture that says the Lord does. The enemy with the rod to the and to continue it no matter how few. And then he showed Joshua another picture of the United States, that there were other saints doing the same thing.
Yeah. Good. Excellent. Yeah. And you see what we did today? Again, he said the Lord gave him a picture. When you began to think about these, and I asked you to picture, what did the Lord uses your imagination to speak to you. He can speak to you through those pictures about who you are and about how He wants you to step into who you are, your identity, so that you can be who you were created to be. And in so doing, live the life He created you. What did Jesus say? I don't do anything except what I see my Father doing. How do you think that happened? How do you think that happened? I don't think there was a flat screen TV walking in front of Jesus, directing him. I think he saw it here. That's how you're wired. That's how you're created. And again, allowing yourself, because many times this concept of visualization and imaging has been given a bad rap. Has it been used and perverted by the enemy? Absolutely. Yeah, but why let him get it when God created it for you? When God gave you the ability to imagine who you are in Him and step into that, because again, the more you do it, the more you will have the confidence and ability to do it when it actually comes. That's why professional athletes do this all the time. They picture them doing whatever it is, whether it's golfing, whether it's shooting hoops, whatever it may be. Because it works. Why not line up with the Word of God and allow that to transform you, so when you face a difficult situation where you've been tempted in the past, you know, no, that's my old me. The new me, I've pictured it. I've seen what I do, so I'm simply going to do it. And it happens. Working together for good, because He's a strong God, equipping you to do it. Last thing I'd like to ask you to do. What is one thing that you sense you can actually do over the course of this next week to help you step into your identity more effectively? And it might be writing out your scripture verse and putting it on the mirror. It might be committing to calling a friend and sharing what your verse was on a regular basis. What is one thing you're willing to commit to? And I would like you to write it down. Like I said, in coaching, we say that this is called an action step you're committing to. In coaching, we say if you don't have action steps at the end of a session, you know what we've had? We've had a great conversation. Conversations can change lives, but much easier for them to do that when an action step accompanies it. And I know your pastors don't just talk at you. They ask you to apply it to your life and live it. That's what this is. This is saying, are you willing to do something? I was willing, privileged, when Pastor Kev contacted me, to get up real early this morning, to get on a ferry, to come over here, to prepare a message, to do worship. I was willing to commit to that because of who I am, what my identity is, to help people become who God created them to be. What are you willing to do? And when you get it, when you know what you're willing to commit to do for this next week, just raise your hand. Because I want to see. Okay. Good. Good, good, good. Okay. Share a couple. What's mine? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I am going to continue to worship on my guitar. 3 times a week. That's what I do. I pull out my guitar and worship on it. That reminds me of who I am. Power. Yes.
Every single morning, I'm going to read through this out loud so I hear myself reading it, so this can come into me. It is the Word of God, and I will start believing it, because faith comes by hearing, and if I'm hearing myself saying it, that's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
And I'm going to do it more for just a week. I'm just going to do it.
I love it.
Because I need this.
Yeah.
I need this.
We all do. That's outstanding. I love it. I love it. Fantastic. What else? Who else? Yes.
It was coming in as you were speaking that there's a verse that you can put in front of your whenever you're reading something. And then ask the Lord to do it. And that's a verse that steps of the righteous man or woman are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to order my steps.
Cool. Is that what you're going to do? Awesome. Fantastic. Fantastic. Who else? Who else? You guys are getting me encouraged. Yes, sir. Beautiful. Cool. Phone a friend. There you go. I love it. Yes. Ooh. Okay. Good. Good. And that's it. We all have our different learning styles and the way that we do things. And understanding that's important. Yes. Ooh. Wow. There's a song by, it's Casting Crowns. Oh my soul, you are not alone. And there's a line in it that says, there's a place where fear has to face the God you know. And I love that line. That's what I'm hearing you say. Yeah. Cool. Cool. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah.
So that I can reprogram my mind to hear.
I love it. And you know what's happening when you do that? He's pouring into you. And what's going to flow out of you is going to be a godly mess. And it's going to be awesome. So you can tell Pastors Kevin and Sherry that Pastor Dave said that we get to make messes. And I'm sure I'll get a call. No, no, no. They'll encourage it. They'll be excited. They're good mess makers, aren't they? Yeah, they're good mess makers. They're godly mess makers. All right. Well, that kind of finishes what I wanted to share with you. And I will be praying for you. As I said, I'm really excited about what I see God doing here. So again, it's so neat to see so many new faces. And I encourage you and to live with expectancy as you continue to step into your identity, your real identity. And one of the things you will find as you do that is you will also become more aware of your fake identity. And when that's beginning to show up, I know for me, a lot of the time it's based around approval. and wanting people to tell me that they like me and that I'm wonderful. And it's not that it's wrong for that. And if you want to tell me that, you can. That's good. But what I need to be careful of is when in my spirit I'm going, oh, I need somebody to tell me that I did well. Because then I'm sourcing my identity in the wrong place. Because my identity can't be found in your approval or your disapproval. It can be found in His approval. And that happened 2,000 years ago. And it can't be changed. But I need to be aware of that. And sometimes as you walk through this, you begin to understand some of the things you look to for false identity. And when you do, recognize it and understand that, okay, what's the right place I need to get that in Jesus? And this list of scriptures may help with that too. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I thank You again for being You. I thank You that You, from all time, have known who You are. You knew Your identity. When You became a man, part of Your own creation, You then also knew who You were and were able to live as our best example of what it means to walk in our true identity. And You made an incredible mess that changed the world. I pray for each one of us today that we would continue to learn to walk like You did, to love like You did, and to know who we are in You so that we might live that passionately, powerfully, and that we might, again, make a mess that changes things and allows Your kingdom to come in and through our lives. We thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that it, Dean?
Yeah.
We good to go? All right, you guys, go be Jesus to the world because the world needs you to be. And thank you again for the opportunity to join together with you. And if I may, I'll give my love to my family from all of you. And let's not make it so long next time, okay? Yeah. Thanks, man.